You're listening to an ESA podcast brought to you by the Ecological Society of America. ESA, promoting the science of ecology.
I'm Terrence Houston, and this is The Ecologist Goes to Washington, a podcast program by the Ecological Society of America, where we interview scientists involved with public policy. Today, I'm interviewing Kristen Lear with the University of Georgia. Kristen is one of this year's Graduate Student Policy Award winners. Your PhD research involves the study of certain pollinator bat species and how their roosting and foraging habits affect Mexican communities. Could you elaborate on the important role these bats play in ecosystems as well as current threats they face?
So I'm currently working in Northeast Mexico for my PhD research, and I'm focusing on the conservation of an endangered pollinating bat, the Mexican long-nosed bat. And this species is a key pollinator of agave plants, which are vital for healthy ecosystems since they prevent soil erosion, and they also provide food and shelter for many other animal species. And also, agaves are important for Mexico's economy, since most famously, tequila is made from agaves. So in my study area in Northeast Mexico, agaves are used mainly for other cultural uses within local communities, such as fermented beverages, fibers, cattle feed, and food for the people. And so the bats that pollinate these plants help maintain the local ecosystems and the local communities. But currently, human harvest of agaves may be contributing to the bat's decline. And so in my research, I'm trying to understand how we can encourage bat-friendly agave management practices among the local communities in ways that not only benefit the endangered bat, but also benefit the communities themselves.
Could you talk a little bit about your work with the Nivalis Conservation Network and their efforts to work for the recovery of the Mexican long-nosed bat?
Yeah, so I'm part of a new binational conservation network that includes researchers from the United States and Mexico, as well as government agencies and nonprofit conservation groups from these two countries. And as part of this conservation network, even though I am still pretty early in my PhD, I am able to contribute to the conservation and policy for an endangered bat species, which I think not only is beneficial for me in the long run, but it's a great way to coordinate efforts for conservation of an endangered bat that migrates long distances between two countries.
And you also participated in the National Science Foundation Graduate Research Fellowship. Mm-hmm. How has it aided your research and career growth?
I applied for this, and I was lucky enough to receive it for my first year at UGA, the University of Georgia. And while I actually haven't gone on active status yet, I will be starting active status this fall, which includes receiving the funding. And so that funding will help me and will be necessary for me to complete my PhD research. And also, I think one of the things that now and in the future the Graduate Research Fellowship is great for is that it's well known and it's a well-respected award. And so it opens doors for future employment. And so I know that no matter what career path I choose, the GRFP will be an asset to my career development.
In your application for the Graduate Student Policy Award, you identify yourself as being affiliated with 7 different ESA sections. How have these sections aided your professional growth as an ecologist? Are there particular sections you find most useful or engaging?
Yeah, so I actually attended my first ESA meeting last year in Baltimore. And after that meeting, I realized just how large and diverse the society is. And so I wanted to take advantage of this great diversity and the networks that exist within ESA through the sections. And so I joined quite a few sections, which has helped me not only develop my actual PhD research through networking, but has also improved my thinking as a conservation ecologist by interacting with these sections. And I think one of the most important sections to me has been the policy section, which has opened my eyes to the possibilities of how my research can have policy application.
Participating in the Biological and Ecological Sciences Coalition congressional visits actually wasn't your first ESA-sponsored trip to Washington, D.C. During ESA's centennial meeting in Baltimore this past year, you were among a group of ecologists who participated in a Friday trip to the nation's capital to meet with ecologists working within federal government entities. What did you gain from this experience, and did it influence you to pursue the Graduate Student Policy Award?
Yeah, it definitely did influence that. So attending the field trip was a life-changing experience because it really opened my eyes to the workings of U.S. science policy, as well as the opportunities that exist within federal government agencies for ecologists. And so by going on that field trip to D.C., I heard from ecologists who are currently working in federal positions. And then after that, I knew that I wanted to explore the policy realm more as both an avenue for my research and as a potential future career. And so that's why I ended up applying for the Graduate Student Policy Award, and definitely was not disappointed in the experience.
When communicating with policymakers about the importance of sustained federal investment in scientific research, what aspects of what you said seemed to resonate the most with the offices that you met with?
I think two of the aspects that resonated the most were the importance of scientific research to the U.S. economy, and also the fact that we were able to put faces to the federal dollars being spent on scientific research. And so when visiting members of Congress, my group stressed the fact that uncertainty in funding is a big driver of research failure or for the loss of students in science fields. And we made sure to stress that sustained federal investments in scientific research help maintain a strong scientific workforce, which in turn is a big contributor to the U.S. economy and innovation, which definitely seemed to resonate with the offices we visited. And also, I think hearing directly from students who are currently benefiting from federal investment in scientific research, instead of just reading facts on a paper, was a key part of connecting with the policymakers and helping them understand the importance of federal funding of science. And so all of us who participated in the visit day have benefited from this investment in some way. And I think putting a face to that investment goes a long way in creating support for sustained funding.
You've now met with several House and Senate offices from the Georgia Congressional Delegation. How did your overall experience inform or change your perspective of Congress and your concept of policy engagement in general? Was there anything particularly surprising or noteworthy regarding these interactions?
Visiting with these offices made me realize that everyone within Congress has their own political priorities. And I knew that going into it, but that definitely opened my eyes to the strength of that. And it made me realize, you know, that our issue, you know, the issue of federal investment in science, may not have been a top priority for some of the offices we visited. And so our visits to those offices may not have actually elevated that issue to being a top priority for them, but I do know, and I have no doubt, that our visits brought the importance of federal investment in science to light, which may ultimately influence them to vote favorably for federal funding of science. And I think if you don't go and make your voice heard in a positive way, chances are that your issue won't receive the support you're hoping for when it comes to voting time. And also, I think another noteworthy thing from the visit was that some of the people we talked with in the offices had science backgrounds, and these were the people who seemed most receptive to and engaged with us when we were talking about federal investment in science. And so I think this really highlights the importance of ecologists and other scientists having an active presence within congressional offices and not just as lobbyists. So having ecologists and other scientists working within these offices, I think, can help ensure that scientific issues are translated properly to those who ultimately make the decisions.
Finally, what advice would you give to other young scientists seeking to engage in public policy?
So I know it may be cliched, but get involved. You really don't have to start big. You can start by attending events like the ESA Ecologists Go to Washington Field Trip, or other policy-related events at annual meetings, or by taking a class on environmental policy within your department. And I also think you should not be afraid to apply for things like the Graduate Student Policy Award, because ultimately, activities like these will help you learn about science policy and they'll help you see if you want to get more deeply involved in the policy arena. And if there's anything I have learned from my experience on Capitol Hill, I think it's that putting yourself out there and making your presence known by being involved is one of the best things you can do to start getting engaged with public policy.
And that was Kristen Lear with the University of Georgia. Thanks so much for listening, and please join us next time on The Ecologist Goes to Washington.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Ecological Society of America. Music was provided by Dr. Nicholas Catelli. For a link to Dr. Catelli's homepage, more information about ESA, or additional podcasts, please visit www.esa.org. Thanks for listening.